welcome. This is God Is In This, the podcast ministry of Bethany First Church, United Church of Christ in Bethany, Connecticut. For more than 270 years, our congregation has gathered in covenant to worship, grow, and serve, grounded in faith and open to the Spirit's movement in our time. As an open and affirming church, we believe every person is created in the image of God and fully welcomed here. Across every race, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, ability, and background. Each episode features a Sunday sermon from our pastor, the Reverend Jonathan Paradis, or from a guest preacher. A message rooted in Scripture, shaped by justice and alive to the questions of today. Whether you're walking the dog, commuting to work, folding laundry, or simply pausing for a breath, we're grateful you've chosen to spend this time with us. Here at Bethany First Church, we believe God shows up, not only in the sanctuary, but in the struggle, in the doubt, in the joy, and in the everyday. So wherever you are, and however you're listening, welcome. This is God Is In This.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us. Quiet the noise around us. Still the anxieties within us. And open our hearts to your whisper. Speak through your word today, that we may listen, trust, and walk in your peace. Amen. Labor Day weekend marks both an ending and a beginning. Summer is closing, yet the rhythms of the fall season have already begun. Students, teachers, and staff returned to classrooms this past week after the rush of adjusting to new schedules and the excitement of the first days back. This long weekend feels like a needed pause. While Labor Day reminds us of the dignity of work and the sacredness of rest, many of us approach this weekend not only with gratitude, but also with concern, worrying about the uncertainty of the future, the anxiety of the unknown, hoping for a break from the difficulty of life. It can feel overwhelming, and we cannot forget that in this Bethany community, some of our students and families are still returning to school this week with grief, anger, and heartbreak, as they still walk through the pain of abuse, mishandling, and betrayal of trust. Our church has and will continue to stand with them at the courthouse, offering prayer, presence, and love. We will continue to stand in witness to the broken systems and the heavy silence, while still calling out for justice. And beyond Bethany, we grieve with the communities far from here. This week in Minneapolis, school children at Mass were pierced by violence, the very places meant to nurture, protect, and give life. Children, families, an entire city, and our nation is once again left with heartbreak and fear. And Minneapolis is not alone. We carry the pain of tragedies too common, fears of mass shootings everywhere we go, and families displaced by multiple reasons, communities left devastated, from political actions that cause harm done on purpose to disasters that are out of our control. The world is heavy with sorrow, and in times like these, the easiest thing is to wish that God would break through with loud answers, unmistakable signs, and swift justice. But today's scripture shows us another truth, that God's presence is not always in the earthquake or in the fire, but in the gentle whisper and in the places of our hiding. As we begin our story for today, let's remember how we arrived at this moment with Elijah. Elijah's ministry was one of confrontation and courage. I'm a big fan of the way he does things. I have checked with Enneagram experts and they've confirmed that he likely was at Enneagram 8. He was fiery, justice-driven, bold, stood up for justice, and was vocal against injustice. And still, beneath the strength, he was deeply vulnerable, longing for safety, needing God's assurance. He was a prophet during the reign of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Remember, the prophets were only needed during times of distress and separation from God. This was a time when Israel turned away from God once again and deeply embraced the worship of idols. Elijah's very name means, "My God is the Lord," and that was his message. He first appeared in 1 Kings chapter 17, announcing a drought as God's judgment on the land. During the drought, God provided food for him through ravens, through a widow at Zarephath, and even raised her son to life through Elijah's prayer. Then in chapter 18 comes this famous showdown on Mount Carmel. God instructed Elijah, "Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." That was the command. But when Elijah stood before Ahab, he didn't just deliver the message. He set the stage for something bigger. He called the people and called the prophets of Baal to Mount Carmel for a contest. The text does not say that God told Elijah to do that part. That was Elijah's bold move, his prophetic imagination, his way of forcing the people to choose. If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. Elijah wasn't freelancing out of pride. He was stepping out in faith. He trusted that God would show up, even though God hadn't given him these instructions, because prophets just don't repeat God's words, they embody them. They dramatize God's message so people can see the truth with their own eyes. And isn't that how faith works? Similar to last week, when God gives us enough to take the next step. The idea, the dream, the means, go, show up, trust me. But the shape of the story, the details of the confrontation, the courage to speak and act, that often comes from us stepping out, trusting that God will meet us there. Elijah stood alone on one side, and on the other, 450 prophets of Baal. The people of Israel gathered to watch. Two altars were built, two bulls were prepared. The true God would be the one who answered with fire. The prophets of Baal went first. From morning until noon, they shouted, they sang, they danced, they cried out, "O Baal, answer us." But nothing happened. At noon, Elijah mocked them, "Shout louder. Maybe your God is deep in thought, or busy, or traveling, or maybe he's asleep, or using the bathroom." So they shouted louder. They cut themselves with swords and spears. They carried on all afternoon, frantic, desperate, noisy. But the text says there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah stepped forward. He rebuilt the altar of the Lord with 12 stones. That action in itself could be a sermon on its own. One stone for each tribe of Israel. And he placed the sacrifice on the wood, drenched the altar with 12 jars of water, until the trench around it overflowed. And let me remind you that at this time of the event, Israel was still in drought. Did they use drinking water? Did they haul water all the way from the Mediterranean Sea? Wherever this water came from, it was a huge effort to do it. Then Elijah prayed, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that you are turning the hearts of your people back again." And suddenly fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, every drop of water in the trench. And the people fell on their faces crying, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." It was a mountaintop victory. But Queen Jezebel swore revenge. So Elijah fled into the wilderness, afraid, exhausted, uncertain of what would come next. And we find him under a broom tree, Elijah praying for his life to end. But God did not scold him. Instead, God sent angels to give him food and rest. Strengthened, Elijah traveled to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There he experienced a wind that shattered rocks, an earthquake that shook the ground, and a fire that blazed. But God was not in them. Finally, there was silence. a gentle whisper. And that is where Elijah encountered the living God. Elijah had already seen fire fall from heaven, and he didn't need another spectacle. He needed to know he wasn't alone, that even in fear and exhaustion, God was still with him. Ahab and Jezebel embodied noise and fear, the loud voices of power and threat, but God came quietly, as if to say, I am still here. Even when the world is loud, even when you are afraid, even when you think you are alone, I am still here. It's no wonder Elijah longed for the mountain, don't we all? We love those mountaintop experiences when God feels near, when our faith feels strong, but Scripture reminds us that we cannot stay there forever. Even Jesus, on the top of the mountain during the Transfiguration, stood with Moses and Elijah shining beside him. The disciples wanted to build tents and remain there, but Jesus said no. They had to go back down into the valley, back with the people, back where a child was suffering, waiting to be healed, back to where daily life and conflict awaited. Elijah, too, could not stay hiding in the cave forever. God's whisper was not to keep him hidden, but to send him back, to confront kings, to anoint people, to speak truth, to bring healing, to live into his calling. And so it is with us. We long for mountaintop experiences, but God meets us in silence, not to keep us there, but to remind us, I am still here. Now go back into the world, back into your calling, back to love and back to serve. We know something of Elijah's exhaustion. We know what it feels like to run, not into caves, but into hiding places of worry and fear. Our students and teachers have already faced the whirlwind of the first week back. This pause is a whisper of grace. We carry the heartbreak of families here in Bethany who are walking through court processes, carrying wounds that should have never been inflicted. We grieve with Minneapolis, where violence entered a holy space. At a Catholic school during Mass this week, sadly, this isn't the only or first time. We remember the many tragedies that weigh heavy, the sorrow of war, the devastation of storms and wildfires, the aches of shooting and violence across our nation, the quiet griefs carried in families and households. And we whisper with them, God is still here. We are still here. Like Elijah, we may hope for dramatic signs, to make everything right in an instance, but God often shows up in the small, steady whisper, giving us enough strength to take the next step, enough peace to breathe again, enough courage to stand with those who need to know they are not alone. God's silence is not God's absence. And for us, being people of silence does not mean staying silent in the face of injustice. Elijah still had a prophetic task. After resting, after listening, he went back to confront the powers. God's whisper gave him strength to keep going. So too with us. Our church listens in silence, but we also speak. We show up at the courthouse. We pray with the families. We cry out for justice. We grieve with communities far and near. The whisper strengthens us to raise our voices when we must. What if we believe that God is in this moment, even when it feels uncertain, heavy, overwhelming? For those who labor each day, may you hear the whisper of God's affirmation. Your work has dignity, and you are not forgotten. For students and teachers, may you find God in quiet pauses, in encouragement, and strength to carry on. For families carrying grief to courtrooms, may God's whisper of presence sustain you. For Minneapolis, for every place scarred by violence and tragedy, may God's whisper bring comfort and healing. And for all of us, may silence become not a void, but a holy space where we discover again, God is in this. Even though Elijah thought he was running away, but in truth, he was running towards God. And in the whisper, God reminded him, I am still here. This Labor Day weekend, in the pause after the first week of school, in the strain of life's uncertainty, in the violence that has pierced our schools, churches, and ordinary places of life, in the tragedies that scar our communities and our world, and in the heartbreak of broken trust, may we remember that God is not only found in the fire and thunder, but in the silence, in rest, in waiting, in the whisper that renews our strength. God is in the silence. God is in this. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany First Church. If you're nearby, we'd love to welcome you in person. Worship is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. right here at 511 Amity Road in Bethany, Connecticut. To learn more about our ministries, upcoming events, or ways to support our mission, visit bethanyfirstchurch.org or follow us on social media at Bethany First Church. We're so glad you joined us, and we hope something in this message stays with you. Until next time, may you walk with courage, live with compassion, and always remember, God is in this.